Welcome back. It is 9:25. 800 CJBQ is the radio station. Big thanks to Brian the Bean Counter for joining us today. Monday on the roundtable, we'll be joined by Ross McDougall and our special guest, former federal counselor, Edgerton Voice. Lots to talk about. And, of course, what's been in the news lately has been always actually in the news is retail and what is happening on a global, national, provincial, and municipal level. And nobody knows more about retail than our next guest. He is John Marino from Marino Locations, and he is a regular contributor to this program. Good morning, John.
Morning, Lauren. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you and all of yours, of course. Before we get into kind of a recap of the holiday season and everything, maybe you can explain to us a little bit about Apple. So based on projected earnings, Apple caused the stock market to go down a lot yesterday. And we think of Apple as this huge, the most valuable company, whatever. But there's a couple of things going on with them. One has to do with retail in China. And the other has to do with the fact that people are speculating that Apple may have priced themselves out of the market with $1,000 smartphones. Yet, you know, whenever you go into a nice mall or down a major artery in a major city, there's a super fancy Apple store. So is there a dichotomy going on with Apple? Is it a two-pronged thing where Apple, you know, stores are completely different from the company? What's the story with Apple?
I think Apple is a technology company first and a retailer second. In terms of the stock movement, a lot of it has to do with media, with news, with today's events, and the stock purchasers' reaction to that. So it isn't the stock valuation isn't always a full reflection of the real value. I think when it comes to Apple, a lot of the underlying value is not in how many iPhones they sell or iPads they sell, and that's often used as a benchmark for indicating the health of the company. But to me, Apple is the retailer. Fundamentally, you look at what the iPhone will do and what the iPad will do, and it is really a vehicle for transactions. And I think as time goes on, that is still going to become the most valuable part of Apple. You know, they take a percentage of everything that's sold on the on their device and their apps and how the apps are used. So, you know, from day to day, we can't really tell what the value of the company is just because of one news report.
That is an amazing insight. This is why I love having you on the show, because I don't think about it that way. I think of it as a pretty funky store, and I think of it as a cool product that makes me a tiny bit cooler. And you're
every time you download a piece of music, think about how much goes to the artist and how much goes to Apple. I think Apple gets a third of that amount of money, and the artist gets 1% or 2%.
Yeah. Yeah, so they're making tons of money for just being the platform to, as you say, the retail platform.
Right.
That is pretty cool stuff. And, wow. Of course, other companies are doing the same, whether it's Google or Samsung or that kind of thing as well, right?
Correct. Yes.
So, and a huge percentage of the population worldwide now has these smartphones. It's very rare to see somebody without one in their hand. So, what does this mean? You know, we've talked about it before, whether it be Amazon or any other online retailing. What does this mean for brick and mortar as we move into 2019?
Well, I think what's happening is that the brick and mortar and the technology world are every day getting a little bit more joined, if you will. So they're not two separate worlds. Every retailer looks at their environment as both. And you'll see now people shopping in the store to get ideas and then go home and go online to make that purchase. Or you've got people surfing online to get a good look at everything that's available. And then they'll go to the store to make that purchase. So it's a blend of both, and you have stores now. I think we spoke last time I was on about how the in-store experience is to walk up and down the aisle of the bricks and mortar store with your iPhone, comparing prices and getting information on the product that you're looking at that may not be available in the store, etc. So it's a blend, and you know, there isn't a segmentation like people have thought of it in the past.
You know, one of the things I love, certain retailers, I'm going to use Canadian Tire for an example, will tell you on their websites if you're looking for a specific product, and their website is great for saying what SKU they actually have, but if there's any in the store and how many are there. So you're looking for a plastic folding table and they have seven in that store, and you know it before you go up there and waste your time. And I think that is an excellent example of how their online service and their, you know, bricks and mortar work together. So you just walk in and say, I know you guys have seven, there's none out here, but, and they go, oh yeah, they're in the warehouse, I'll go get you one. And it works great.
Right.
Yeah, that's cool stuff. Okay, let's look at 2018. We just came off the holidays. I think judging by, and it's hard to judge, but driving by the malls, they seem to be, the parking lot at Quinney Mall was packed. You know, the box store parking lots were packed. I'm sure Amazon did very well. But looking at the year as a whole, how would you, grade 2018 on a retail year?
It was still an okay year. So not off the charts great, but just as an example, I got some recent sales figures in that December was still up over last year, but the rate of increase in December was 0.6% up generally in Canada compared to the previous 3 months, which were more in the double-digit teen increases. So December was, the increase was a little less than the previous 3 months, but it was still an increase. So, and that's on a global sense. That's total sales. That's not on a sales per square foot. That means if there was new stores that were added to the marketplace, that sales is added to the total. But it's still a good sign that in-store shopping is still healthy. Bricks and mortar is still healthy, although it's changing. And I think the story of retail is now that it is a continually evolving process. For instance, people like Staples. You think, well, what can you do with a kind of a same old Staples store? Well, they have basically looked at it now and said we should be competing with these short-term office things like WeWork, or we should be competing with Starbucks, where people are going in and sitting in at Starbucks and having a coffee and getting on the Wi-Fi with their laptops and doing their business. There's a lot of people doing business from a laptop only. So they're now, the thinking at Staples is go into the Staples store, clear an area, make a coffee shop in there, have a nice table so you can go in and you're actually working as an office in Staples with all the photocopiers there and et cetera, et cetera.
You need some paper? Guess what? You can go and buy it. It's 2 feet away.
Exactly. That kind of thing. And same as Indigo is changing into more of a gift department store. And, so that is the essence of being a retailer, is you're continually changing your offering.
I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, and I did a little research for this segment today, one of the biggest changes, and I know it's because of the amalgamation, is Shoppers Drug Mart. You look at a Shoppers Drug Mart today, and in some aspects, you have trouble remembering you're in a drugstore because of all the food offerings, including fresh food now. They have really changed with the Loblaws amalgamation and purchase, and for areas that don't have a drugstore, like here in Belleville in the West End, that Shoppers Drug Mart de facto becomes a little bit of a grocery store for the people that live around there.
And also cosmetics. So Shoppers is doing a big job in the whole beauty bar industry and servicing, and they've taken a lot. So whatever Sears has given up, they've taken, and maybe a little higher end than that. And they're really trying to take over that department store cosmetics business.
And the stores are nice, let's face it. Almost every Shoppers Drug Mart you go into is nice and bright and well laid out, and also consistent. You have a good idea if you go into one what the other one is like as well, and I think people like that.
For sure.
Yeah.
So consistent with the story of, you know, always, you know, having to change, retailers changing, is the temp or pop-up phenomena is just growing and growing in terms of retailer that takes a space and then is changing over their space, say, every 2 months or 3 months to different products, different uses, different images. You know, there's even some concepts that consider themselves like a magazine, where every 2 months, instead of a new issue of a magazine comes out, every 2 months a new issue of that store is out with a new story, new products, and they actually sell advertising in the store, either on the storefront or on the walls or et cetera, to bring in income for the products that are being sold in the store.
That's amazing stuff. And I assume a lot of this is stuff that happens in places like Toronto and New York and Los Angeles and London, and not so much in Trenton or Napanee.
I would say you're right on that. But speaking of New York, you know, Gap has just announced they're closing their big flagship store on Fifth Avenue, as did Ralph Lauren. And I think a lot of the major brands that used to have a storefront in the luxury row of most big markets are starting to rethink that strategy, because the rents have gone to such a level that they really can't make money in the store, for the most part. I'm not generalizing completely, but it used to be a lot of for brand presence. But now the brand presence is really conducted through the very many other channels that there are to get the story out to the consumer as to what the brand is.
I made an interesting decision, and the other day, last Sunday, I walked through Yorkdale. And, you know, Yorkdale, from my youth and your youth to today, it's unrecognizable. And although there are stores in Yorkdale that, you know, are common and available to everybody, like Shoppers Drug Mart and the Bay. I mean, the Bay is, you know, there's something for everybody in the Bay. Let's face it, it seems like a lot of Yorkdale is now set up with Nordstrom and some really, really high-end stores. I mean, they have a Ladore French macaron outlet in that place. But there's also a fair amount of Asian retail in there. There's a brand new Japanese Mojo or something like that. I forget what it was called. Right next
Muji.
To the right next to the Uniqlo, which is a Japanese clothing store as well. And I found that very interesting. But then on the other hand, I thought to myself, wow, there's a gazillion Asians here in Toronto, and this is a pretty cool store as well. So, you know, I kind of get it. But the thing that stood out the most to me was this Restoration Hardware mansion they built on the side of Yorkdale. I mean, we're talking $8,000-$10,000 sofas.
Yeah. But you can't take anything out of that store. Everything has to be purchased online and delivered.
Yeah. How does that work, John? How can they afford? I mean, what must have cost a king's ransom to build that alone? It is beautiful. It is beautiful. There was without a doubt.
Again, it's
beautiful.
About branding. It just shows it's a show place for the brand, and for them, I suppose it works. But we'll only know given time. Everybody thinks things work automatically, but they don't. And after many years, when the store goes away, then on reflection, you'll realize whether it was a good decision or not.
Yeah, because that would have been a giant investment for that company. Massive.
Yes, giant. And they've done many of those across North America.
Wow. But on the other hand, if somebody buys a $10,000 couch, they're making a bit of that back, I suppose. And then they have a really beautiful place to have lunch. I mean, they're little. It looks like it's just lovely. It's expensive, but holy geez. I mean, Again.
And you don't have to be in there to have lunch. You can actually go anywhere in the store and sit at any of their tables, and they will bring you the lunch.
Really?
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
But anyways, talking about not needing a store like that anymore, it's the social influencers on media have a great amount of ability to create or dispel a brand image. And as a matter of fact, if you, for fun, take a look at YouTube video of this marketing scheme that was done in California. There was this new store called Palessi opened, which invited all these social medias across North America to the store. Very luxurious store. They claimed it was a high-end shoe store from Europe or whatever called Palessi, and everybody raved about it. They were paying $500, $600 for the shoes. And then at the end, it was revealed that it was a bit of a hoax and that the store was actually put together by Payless, and it was their product in the store that sells for $39.99 or $59.99. And all the media influencers were paying $6. Anyways, at the end, they gave them all their money back and let them keep the shoes. But it was a terrific promo for them.
And also to show where our mindset is, where we pay $3,000. Well, not me personally, but people happily pay $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 for a purse, which is clearly not worth that. But it has the brand that makes people feel incredibly, incredibly good.
To change the subject on you, Lauren, a bit here. I hear today is the end of the survey day in Belleville for cannabis.
Yes, and we're going to get to cannabis. I want to take a break and talk about cannabis retail and how it's going to affect people in Toronto, in Canada. Well, in Ontario, only really 25 stores, maybe initially. But before that, anything new retail that you want to let us know happening here in the city of Belleville? I know I see walls going up at Popeyes. That's good. Anything you want to share with us?
Apparently, January 20, Popeyes takes over to start their construction inside. So, yeah, hopefully another couple of months and that'll be open. And then the other end of the building there that is under construction, tenant is about to take over that one in about another month. There had to be some retrofit work done there, and I can't divulge who that is yet. 30,000 square foot fashion retailer. And no, other than that, I don't have any new insight as to, I have negotiations going on, again, not at liberty to say of people coming to that site, but as to other things in Belleville, no, I don't have any news.
Is Belleville a difficult market to get people to open something?
Yes, it is. It's a difficult market. It's part of the problem is, it's looked at as being covered by Oshawa or covered by Kingston, and for some products, certainly covered by Toronto. So it isn't a have-to-have, but it is a definite wannabe for most retailers that can operate in markets of 100,000 population, which is a population size of a market that typical national retailers do look at. So things like, you know, Walmart and Home Depot and Best Buy and Gap and all that. So we're always going to get those. But outside of the norm, it's very difficult to get attention to Belleville.
Yeah. And I guess everybody's still talking about a Costco and whether a Costco is going to, you know, eventually come here. Apparently they've purchased some property, but I guess Costco does that from time to time. They'll purchase property and sit on it.
Yeah, planning ahead, and also Costco is going to be changing sizes. That's one of the things that you see as new concepts come out. Look at IKEA. They used to only have 300,000 square foot stores, and then they started doing these 40,000 square foot stores. So in some of these smaller stores, they can have part of the product, and also you can order online, have the product shipped to that store close to you, even if it's a smaller store, and then pick it up there.
Interesting stuff. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about recreational cannabis and retail. We know April is the beginning of brick and mortar for cannabis in Ontario, how that's going to work. I know that John represents, you know, cannabis business, and it must be very frustrating to not know exactly what's going on. We'll get to that next as the Lauren Brooker Show continues on CJBQ.
Steel appliances. They look amazing. So sleek, so modern, so...
covered in fingerprints, hard to clean.
Not when you have Frigidaire appliances, because they have exclusive smudge-proof stainless steel. It resists fingerprints and smudges, and is so easy to clean.
Huh. Thanks to Frigidaire's smudge-proof technology, I can finally buy stainless steel appliances.
It really is a no-brainer.
Visit Arnie's Appliances today and get smudge-proof stainless steel appliances by Frigidaire. Pay no taxes at Arnie's Appliances, Tyendinega.
Listen to 800-CJBQ live online. Thanks to Greenback's Pawn Shop.
Getting top cash at Greenback's Pawn Shop is as easy as 1, 2, 3. Step 1, bring in your gold and unwanted items. Step 2, get a free evaluation. Step 3, receive instant top cash. Greenback's is your number one pawn shop. 170 North Front Street, Belleville, and downtown Coburg. Online at greenbackspawnshop.com.
Get your music, news, and talk online with Greenback's. CJBQ.
800-CJBQ believes in being accountable to you, the listener, which is why we participate in the Canadian Broadcast Standards Council. We are committed to upholding the highest standards of broadcast excellence and adhering to the codes of conduct administered by the CBSC. If you have a comment to make about our programming or a concern about something you heard on our radio station, contact 800-CJBQ or visit the CBSC website, cbsc.ca.
There's just one place to go for new and good used appliances. Smitty's Appliances has the best price and selection. After the sale, Smitty says it's service that's important. Smitty's has been servicing the Quinte area for 44 years. That speaks for itself. There's a big inventory of new and used appliances available for same-day delivery at Smitty's Appliances, River Road, Corbyville.
Is fentanyl in the drugs you're taking? Fentanyl is an extremely potent synthetic opiate prescribed by doctors for patients with acute and chronic pain. It is roughly 100 times stronger than morphine and about 40 times more potent than heroin. Fentanyl is being mixed into or disguised by dealers as other popular but illegal drugs, and people are dying. I'm Deputy Commissioner Rick Barnum of the Ontario Provincial Police. Please think twice and don't take the risk.
Country, talk, oldies, sports. What else could you ask for? 800-CJBQ and CJBQ.com.
You better shop around.
Live from Studio 800, it's the Lauren Brooker Show on CJBQ.
Welcome back to the Lauren Brooker Show. It is 12 minutes before the top of the hour. Mark Fleur joins us after 10 o'clock. We're going to talk about what's going on with our services and recreational facilities. I think Mark Wilson is coming with him, so that'll be a lot of fun. Roundtable on Monday. Right now we're talking with John Marino from Marino Locations, and we're talking retail here in Canada and around the world. And John, of course, you represent a cannabis retailer, and we know that in April that cannabis is going to be available in bricks and mortar locations. Now, we are in a very unique situation here in the Quinte region because of the territory next door to us and the, I think, 40 some odd locations there. But for the rest of the province, I guess there will be 25 provincially licensed locations, and there's going to be some kind of lottery and draw and so on and so forth. And this has to be frustrating because I know the company you represent is a legitimate, well-thought-out company, and you're, you know, that you have the possibility of somebody who's not in that category also potentially getting a license. And when you just do 25, it kind of takes away from the free market and all the things that I think Ontarians expected to happen with this. So it's going to be a small and maybe interesting rollout of cannabis in stores here in Ontario.
Well, that's quite an understatement. Frustrating. Frustrating and expensive for the players in the business because they have been planning this for many years and are well capitalized, like you said. Our client called Spirit Leaf is publicly traded company under the symbol ISH. on the Canadian Stock Exchange. And, you know, these people have been gathering funds for a long time to do the rollout according to what the rules were in place. So the problem is that the rules keep changing. So let's take Ontario for a minute. When the rules first came out, it was that the stores were to open April 1st of 2019 and that, you know, there wasn't any limit on that, how many stores could open, and there were guidelines as to distances from schools, et cetera. And then we listened to a lot of the council debates at various municipalities across the province to, you know, decide whether they're going to opt in or opt out, and we're quite surprised that the level of non-knowledge that a lot of the councillors had about what the new world is going to look like. And I think the problem is people go into this thinking that a cannabis shop is like they experienced in the past, the illegal kind of the head shop that was buried in a corner somewhere that attracted a different crowd. And what is contemplated is a brand new vision of luxury, slick, beautifully well-lit stores that could line up with anybody on Bloor Street type of thing, and operating legally and with product that's supervised and well-tested so that there's no concern that it could be, it could have any other additives to it that you're not aware of.
And this is the problem for me. The problem for me is that that kind of store should be allowed to open, and I think that's what should happen. I mean, people who would like, I think, the opportunity to go in, learn about product, look around, feel comfortable, know that the product is safe, and you have these companies. And the other aspect of this that's really making me angry, I have to admit, is cannabis is as legal as wine, beer, and spirits. Yet nobody and no community is complaining if they want to open another liquor store, right?
Right.
I mean, that's all fine. But you got to take your I think politicians need to take their biases, put it aside now, and understand that this is a legal product. And it should be treated in the same way as beer, wine, and spirits. If you can walk into a grocery store and buy some beer, you should be able to open a store with the same kind of zoning and sell this product with, of course, the legislative limitations that are put in place. And it should be as simple as that. So maybe it's a good idea, maybe not a good idea to start off with 50 or 100 stores and see how it works out, but then quickly move on from that. And you should, yeah, I don't know why the government is doing this, and I find it very frustrating. I'm not a cannabis user.
One of the reasons, to interrupt you there, is for the change is to slow down the rate of openings because of the supply issue. And, you know, it has been experienced in other provinces where stores are open already, and with OCS, which is the Ontario Cannabis Store Division of the Ontario government, the parallel to the LCBO.
Yeah.
Well, they're selling it online, and apparently they can't get enough product either. So it's a matter of getting that. And so to slow it down, they've put this interim cap of 25 stores, and it's distributed around the province. That cap was supposed to be to April 1, and now they've extended it to December 13th of 19. So it isn't forever. You know, next year it'll be another story. And so what it's done is put a bit of a throttle on it, but it's caused a lot of retailers problems. In that they've already signed leases with big rents. Many of the retailers signed 30 to 40 leases across Ontario. So think of all those people who are now sitting with space that they can't operate as cannabis stores until 2020, when maybe the throttle is opened again. But, it's a difficult problem in that the way that they're conceiving the initial 25 through a lottery is very, in my opinion, not not giving the public what they should have. So instead of the professional, well-studied, well-financed retailers putting their store out there, a lottery could entitle a person who's never been in retail before, never been in cannabis before, to have a license. And then what are they going to do? Because they have to open by April 1st. One of the requirements of these new rules is if you win the lottery in January, which is, you know, just a couple of weeks from now, you must have that store open by April 1st or you lose your license.
And in the meantime, people are still just going to their, from what I understand, their dealers, or in this part of the world, over to the East, because it just, I mean, if you want a joint and it takes 2 weeks for it to show up by mail, you're going to find an alternative, right?
Exactly. And it doesn't stop anybody, because there's so much product available that isn't tested that's available on the black market. I mean, I think even the Toronto Star covered the issue of the Tiandanega area, and that one store did $20 million in business. That's not from me. That's from the Toronto Star. So there's a lot of money being funneled over in that direction.
Well, we're going to keep up on this story, obviously, as it is a national story and one of the biggest stories, of course, of 2018. We have about 30 seconds left. When you think about 2019, is the future bright for retail across this country?
Yes, it's always bright in terms of new product and new opportunities for retailers. Franchise companies are growing very strongly still. There's always a need for franchise owners, and we encourage a lot of people to get into that business. So entrepreneurship is still alive and well, and new products are coming all the time, and retail always has been, always will be.
John Marino from Marino Locations. Thank you so much, John. Appreciate the time today. I know we went a bit over, but your expertise is always welcome on this show.
Okay. Thank you, Lauren.
Thank you.